Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that we would be, if nothing else, an enthusiastic, joyful choir. That we would be happy to sing your praises. Lord, that we're ready to hear your word. We're excited. This ain't the same old, same old. It's the first Sunday of the year, and this is a new church. Your word is true. And just give us that confidence and joy that those who believe you and trust you and love you have. Grow us up, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wednesday,
myself, Jonathan, Pierre, and Greg all went to Passion in Atlanta, Georgia. And the boys had all been, but Jamie and I, this is our first time to go. And of course, you know my thing is the worship. So to just watch all those 18 to 25-year-olds worshiping like there was no other care in the world was just like that childlike faith that you hear about. And they're teenagers. I mean, we all know they're crazy. No offense, boys. I love you. But Jamie and I, we got to talking one night, and we both said, that's got to be what heaven's going to be like. And the freedom in the place during the worship is just where I hope that we can get this year. Because, like I said, there was no care in the world. They literally laid it all down. It's just good stuff. So think about that. Like John always says, we're not up here to perform for you. And there may be times that we're having struggles that we can't get into it. But to see y'all be able to do it helps us too. So just think about that.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
we're going to be talking about some goals. We picked a theme verse. When I say we, I do have a mouse in my pocket. And me and the mouse. No, I'm just kidding. But the pastors got together, and we've talked on it. We've prayed on it. When I say we prayed on it, I feel like we need to start. We did not go off into some secluded desert in like a sweat box and sweat until we had answers written on the wall in Hebrew or something. It wasn't like that. We prayed and we just kind of we talked with each other and we asked God to guide us and we prayed and we came to this thought about being deliberate in pursuing God. And felt like God gave us a verse, like a theme verse for this year. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Philippians 3, 14. And it simply says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That I push on. I press on to the goal. I press on to win the prize. I press on to the calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the word that kept coming to my mind, and it's not important, this word, but it's about being deliberate. It could be determined. It could be persevering. It could be any other word. That don't matter. But the idea is this, that I want to deliberately step forward into what God's calling us to. I don't want to be haphazard about it. We don't want to just kind of let it vaguely lay out there. Man, I want us to become the most hospitable, welcoming, Jesus-loving, people-loving, sinner-catching folks in Grenada. Does that make sense? And I don't believe that happens on accident. I think it happens on purpose. And so we said, man, let's set some goals. Over the next couple Sundays, we're going to talk about some of those goals specifically. But before you plant the seed, what you got to do? You got to plow the field? Somebody said that. I heard a lady voice. There's a lady. Oh, pray. You got to pray. I thought you said plow. I was like, that's right. And because you're only five, you still sound, you know, look, I'm teasing, friend. I know you're teasing. The rest of the crowd, if I said they were 5 years younger, they'd have been happy. You got to plow the field. And so this sermon today is just like a little talk, like a family talk and gathering. I got my big boy seat out. I don't know if y'all noticed this. Where's Josh Schmitz? Where?
He's in the 2 and 3 year old class.
Well, that's good because he's grounded. He took his narrow backside and put it on my. Y'all notice how big the seat is? Y'all notice how big this seat is? Do you see the little seat that he? That's what he left me. I'm like, come on, man. I had to talk to that, straighten that guy out. You know what I'm saying? One of these things don't go together. This is my seat. It'd be obvious to everyone who looks at it. How do you even get back to the sermon at that point? That's what you're wondering, Malik. That's what you're wondering. Hey, we're just having a talk. We're just having a family talk. Is it a sermon? Yeah, sure, it's a sermon. Yeah, I'm preaching, man. It's God's word. And God can save people all the time and all those things. But we've got to talk some of this through. Because there's some things that keep churches and people away from hitting the goals that they're looking to hit. Believe me, I know. Y'all see my beard? Can you see it now? How about now? See it every Sunday? Y'all remember why I started growing the beard and said I wasn't going to shave? Who remembers? All right, what was it? I was going to have a goal. Yeah. Now, my first goal was to get under 300 pounds. And I said, when we did, I'll shave. And I did it. I don't know. Praise God. It was a miracle. Anyways, it happened. And so I shaved. I revealed all my ugly. Scared my daughter. You know, people are hating me at Walmart, looking at me mean. Like, who are you? I walked up on people I'd known for a long time, and they looked at me like, how do you know my name? Why are you talking to me? Anyways, it was weird. It was bad. But so I started growing again. I said, my next weight goal is 275. I probably will have to tote my beard in a wheelbarrow before I get to 275. I don't know what it was about this goal. I was at 292 and I said, I want to go to 275. I started at 330. I'm starting to get around 330, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, it's like I sprung back up. It was like I got repelled back from my goal. You ever been repelled back from a goal? How you feel about it? It's kind of, you know, especially if you make it public and you're big mouth about it, you know, you're like, I'm going to lose weight or I'm not going to shave. And then you're looking like Rip Van Winkle, you know. Rip's big cousin, Big John, John Van Winkle. It feels bad, you know. You start questioning yourself, and you start thinking, what's going on? I wonder, has anybody here ever been repelled back from a goal they set in the Lord? You know, you're like saying, hey, I appreciate y'all who've raised your hands. Hey, you know, I'd like to maybe pray more. I can't even say it. Maybe pray more. Or read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Every day of the year. I'm going to read my Bible through in a year. How many people made that promise and have already broken it? I'm sorry. It's all right. Hey, we're family. This is a family talk. Y'all, please know when you come to this place, this is not about judging you according to your performance. Oh my goodness, right? That's not what we're here about. We're here to be wide open people who are just saved by Jesus. Okay? So when I talk about these things, if I talk about them being open, and you think, man, he's kind of open about that, it's okay. We're not here to fool anybody with phony holiness. You walk into churches, and I promise, all you got to do is scratch the surface, and you'll find, oh, that's not real holiness. That's just fake, phony, plated-on, paste holiness. It's no good. It's pretend to try to make people feel good about themselves and put other people down. So we're going to talk real. So we mess up. We make mistakes. Is it okay to say, although we are perfectly saved, we're not yet perfect? What do y'all think? Why is it that when somebody gets saved and all of a sudden they start going to church, they try to act perfect? Is it because there are some people in the church that look at them strange if they knew there was weird things in their life? Or maybe they're just afraid of that. Maybe the people they're afraid would judge them. Maybe that's them judging those people. Maybe those people would be perfectly willing to accept them and their flaws and their failures. But they say, oh, I see them at church and they look so perfect. Does anybody in here know when you walk into church? I've heard it. I've even heard it said here. They just have their whole life together. Can I tell you as their pastor? They don't. Ain't nobody does. They got their whole life together. We're perfectly incapable of not being perfect. I like that. Part of the point is to say, I'm never going to get to this. I talked to a 70-year-old man today, 71-year-old. I know, a youngin, LG, that's what you're saying. It's a young man. And he asked the question along the lines of this. Is there ever a time when we can just, where we get it, you know, where we just get it? Where you're just walking with the Lord, you don't need any help, you don't need any of this stuff. Can I tell you, no? LG, can you tell us? No. LG is 182 years old. Oh, come in. I don't even know what he's saying, and he's speaking in tongues. Come on, buddy, 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 buddy. Point being, you don't ever get to an age where you don't need the Lord every day. You don't ever get to the age where you don't need the Word, where you don't need the Spirit of God, you don't need the people of God, you don't need to be... Man, and there's a point for you being here anyway. It's not all about you. What if you're here for somebody else? For crying out loud, right? I hear that about sometimes people will talk about meetings. Maybe they're having issues with addiction. And I say, man, you need to go to a meeting. You need to get involved with a community that's all about recovery. I don't care if it's Celebrate Recovery. I don't care if it's AA. You need to be, oh, I don't need that. And I look at them and go, well, maybe they need you. Have you ever thought of that? You know, this whole idea that there ain't nothing for us to do and we're trapped in this bubble of nothing, it's so dumb. It's so not Christian. It's so not God. We need to break that bubble and get out and say, Lord, we're here. We're imperfect. We have failed. We're not at the place where we should be. Where should a guy be that has gone through seminary, has been invested in by the Christian community, has been brought in, loved, and adopted into the church as a leader and as a pastor? How holy should I be? Where should I be on the holyometer? Man, shouldn't I be way up here? I'm trying to look for something to climb, and I just can't climb anything. Shouldn't I be really high up there? Shouldn't I just be the most holy of holies? and all those things? Well, even if I should be, can I tell you I'm not? We put Christian leaders on a pedestal. We put pastors and missionaries and teachers and all that, and our grandparents who were godly. Man, there ain't nothing wrong with knowing godly people. Nothing wrong with being godly. But can I tell you, you'll never get to that point where you don't need God's help. Where God might not use you to help somebody. Man, we need to look in the mirror. Grab the wing nut on our halo and just start loosening it up until we see our color come back. We need to stop pretending. One of the things I love about Christ's Community Church is we're one of the most non-pretentious churches anywhere. I love saying we got hotheads, knotheads, and potheads. And God loves every single one of us. You ain't going to impress God by the things that you've cut out of your life. You're not going to impress God with the things you add into your life. You want to impress God? Trust Him. Trust Him and walk with Him. Trust Him and walk with Him. That's how you're going to say, and it's not even about impressing God. That's the way it's meant to work. Man, one of the greatest ways my children honor me as their father is they just trust me. They trust me. If I say, hey, come here, this is going to be all right. And they're like, no, I don't know, man, I don't know. I mean, some of that's play, but sometimes when they go the other way because they're like, well, I didn't know what you were going to do. It's like, why would you ever think I was going to hurt you? Why do you think I would set you up for failure? Why do you think any of these things? And y'all, it's true about God too. God is not setting us up for failure. God is not looking to judge us and hit us down with every flaw, fall, and fault. I'm trying to speak English. I'm getting there. Hey, let's pray. Let me read this and let's pray. Because I haven't even read the scripture. That's how I see New Year. It's like I feel like I'm riding a bike for the first time. You know, we'll get back. But it's there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. This is what they say. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father God, now we've heard your word and I've done all my ranting. Would you bring some sense so that we could get a direction and be deliberate in pushing forward into the goals you have for us? Help us to do the hard work of plowing and reflecting and thinking on who we are and where we need to go. And Lord, we love you. Not because we're holy, but because you loved us. It's the only wise thing to do is to love the God who loves you first. Help us to make that decision and to grow in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, the first two lines. It's on your bulletin. It's in bold, or in the handout. It's in bold print. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Man, it's insights like this that God gives us about the men and women He's chose throughout His redemptive history that just gives me some hope. Here's the Apostle Paul, not pretending to have made it. Not pretending. He said, he took himself off any pedestal that anybody might have put him on. I mean, he was a big deal in Philippi. He helped plant that church. He was the one that came over and first started talking to him. He took a beating in Philippi for the Lord. He got rotted to the back. Bam! Bam! 39 times. Locked up in jail. The jail broke open, but he still stayed there. Got to lead the jailer and his family to the Lord. Man, I can imagine people going, oh, but like Paul. Oh, Paul. Oh, Paul. And what does Paul say? Y'all, I ain't got there. Don't put me on that pedestal, man. Don't lift me up like that. I've not yet arrived at my goal. Don't we just have this image of people like Paul that they just kind of walk on air, and every time they said anything, they look at somebody and say, be saved. And somebody would look, pow, and they fall out and got saved. Like, come
on, razzle dazzle, plop, plow. And they're like, you right, you right. We're all going to get saved. And the whole world got saved when Paul was alive. You know, we have this weird idea. Yet Paul says, I ain't there yet, y'all. You know why Paul said that? Because Paul still struggled with sin. Paul knew what Paul thought, what Paul said, what Paul did. Paul knew that God knew that about Paul. He wasn't there yet. He wasn't perfected yet. He wrote a letter later than this letter. And he shares this beautiful verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a trustworthy saying. He says, worthy of all acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I'm a chief. Chiefest. Josephus? I don't know. He is the chief. He's a bad sinner, is what he's saying. That was his estimation at the end of life. How is it that he walked so long with God and still knew that he was someone who needed God, needed forgiveness, needed grace and mercy? We don't ever outgrow it. You're never going to outgrow your lust. You're never going to outgrow the things that make you angry, which are irrational and dumb and make you hate people when they get against you. You're not going to outgrow that. You're not going to outgrow a lot of your self insecurity, self-righteousness, or self-pities. You're not going to outgrow all that. So how do you make it work with God? I'm going to tell you, and this is the first word. Why don't you admit them? Why don't you admit that you got them? Admit your insecurities, your faults, your failings. But I'm already saved. Amen. All the more reason you ought to freely admit your faults, your failings, your anger, your lust, your weird strangeness. Because you're saved. Stop trying to hide it. You can't ever hide it from God. And the example we get, if anybody was going to try to hide it, if anybody's audience would have believed that he had arrived at his goal, the Philippians would have believed Paul had if Paul told them that. Paul could have said, y'all, I've been to the mountaintop. I live on the mountaintop. I don't ever fail because I'm perfect through the power of God. And you all need to be perfect like me. The Philippians would have been, you right, Paul, we're so loud, you're so good. But this word ain't just Paul's word, is it? This word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God wanted us to know that the Apostle Paul, Saint Paul, Paul, the missionary, church-planting, Bible-writing evangelist, had not yet made it. So why do we carry our guilt like we do? Why do we carry labels for ourselves and for each other? Why do we look in the mirror and not like ourselves? I've spent too much time doing it. I've even preached on this before. But you know, this is something I've learned. When you get onto something good, even if you don't achieve it at first, keep going. I want to get out of my self-pity, self-loathing problem that I have. I know y'all don't want to hear. This ain't my counseling session. Actually, I can look at Shane, where Shane and I just have a talk. Shane, I just don't like me sometimes. I think I should be further along in my Christian walk. I feel like sometimes God can be very disappointed with me. Shane, what do you think about that? And Shane says, you ain't paying me, sucker, so I ain't telling you nothing. But why do we get so much into not only do I have times when I don't like myself, but I meet so many people who just don't like themselves. Well, God made you yourself. If you're big boned, own it. If you're a little weird, claim it, man. People talk about naming and claiming, right? Do you think it's a surprise to God? Man. How boring would it be if everyone was the same, everyone looked the same, everywhere was the same? Y'all know I had a chance to travel. I got to travel up to Michigan to visit my mom, and then my mom went down to Panama Beach, Florida, so we followed her there too. So I've been in the northern coast of the United States and the southern coast of the United States. And they're radically different. I like them both. But I'm glad for them to add a little variety, right? I'm not going to claim one's better than the other. Why in the world would we be so caught up? Oh, I don't preach like that guy. Oh, my church don't look like this guy. Oh, this and all that. Oh, I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Well, shut up, stop whining, and just go with God. That's what I want to tell myself. And I want to like say, just stop. Stop judging you. You know the devil's got a job to be the accuser of the brethren? What happens if we all started accusing ourselves? We had to put the devil on welfare. He'd be signing up for unemployment. He'd be at the wind job center visiting Kim. Like, what can I do? Now that all the Christians hate themselves and bad talk themselves and guilt themselves, I ain't got nothing to do. I can't feed my kids. Devil's got kids, Lord. I mean, that's John chapter 8. There's a whole bunch of them out there. How's he going to work? What's he going to do if we take his job from him? How come we can't just acknowledge, I haven't made it? But I trust you. I trust your love. I trust your amazing grace. I trust you won't ever quit. I trust, just like when I was a sinner and I was diametrically opposed to you and you still loved me, while I was yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. While I was a sinner, God demonstrated his love for me that Christ died for me. You all know what I'm saying? So how is it now that I've accepted the love of Christ, I still feel all guilty and nasty and dumb and I'm afraid to admit those things to God? Church, the loneliest people on earth are those pretending to be holy in church because they think if everybody knew their stuff, they'd be hated and they'd be outcast and all those things. Loneliest people in the world are those pretending to be holy when they're not. You ain't fooling nobody. Not in this church. We know you're a sinner. Every one of you. Period. God wouldn't have sent you here otherwise. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This year, the work we need to do is first, let's get honest, humble, and real with God. Let's get honest, humble, and real with God. Don't try to baloney him. That's right. Baloney is an old-fashioned way of saying fooling. Don't try to trick God. If you're not a good parent, because you made mistakes parenting, are you going to sit there and try to justify and rationalize? Oh, well, I'm just, why don't you just say you're crummy? And say, Lord, I'm going to do better. Help me. You know the guy, the dad, that had a kid who was in having fits and he kept falling in the water, kept falling in the fire, and he brought his kid to Jesus and said, he brought his kid to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't help him. He brings him to Jesus, and Jesus says, it's possible, man, if you believe. And the father, in desperation, says, I believe. Then he said, but help my unbelief. Man, he recognized he was still a mixed bag. He still needed help. Are you a bad spouse? You know what's weird? In our time, people have started preaching the gospel of marriage. And almost act like if you ain't got a good marriage, you ain't a good Christian. Can I tell you, that's stupid? We almost act too like you got to be married to be a good Christian. That's stupid too. The people we follow ain't wasn't. Jesus, Paul wasn't married. Jesus wasn't married. We act like we got to have. I hear everybody preaching on, man, you got to have a good marriage. Got to have a good marriage. Well, great. Having a good marriage is good. It's good for you. It's good for your spouse. It's good for your children. But I follow the Savior that says you've got to put you, your spouse, and your children behind him and follow him. Because anybody who doesn't put him number one and they elevate any other relationship, they're aiming for trouble. Man, having a good marriage is not the stamp of approval that you're a good, godly person. But we kind of act like that. Almost act too like if we don't, you know, you gotta homeschool your kids if you're going to be holy. You got to do this. I ain't got nothing against homeschooling. I ain't got nothing against this schooling and that schooling and all them schooling. What I have something against is any time we take any kind of qualifier, any kind of test and say, if you can do that, if you can be married well, if you can parent well, if you can school your kids well, then you're a good Christian. That ain't right. All it does is heap a pile of guilt on Christian people. Y'all, follow the Lord. He'll make you who you need to be. Follow the Lord. Make that your goal. First way to do it, honest, humble, real. Things that we got to lose. You know, because when you're plowing, sometimes you hit things like rocks and stumps. I imagine. I had never plowed. I'm from Detroit. You'll be like, I don't know. That's what they tell me. I rototilled something one time. And it was funny because I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure, and I just kind of like had a big old rototiller, and I just had it, and it was just plopping. I was like, and it wasn't digging in or anything. And I was like, what is wrong? And I found out there's like a fin or like a little hooky deal on the back that you're supposed to put in, and it kind of hooks in the ground. And kind of look. Yeah, I didn't have one of those. I was just like running around the yard plopping with this thing. But, you know, sometimes you hit a rock, or sometimes you hit something that's got to be taken out. Let me tell you what needs to be taken out that don't do us no good. It's the 3D words here. Defeated, discouraged, disgruntled. Defeated, discouraged, disgruntled. Y'all, none of those things go help you out in your walk with God. Defeated is this. Like, can I tell you where I get tempted to get defeated sometimes in our church? And I just need not, y'all can pray, is with small groups. Small groups require organization. Organization requires at least one person with organization. I'm not that person. But can I tell you something? Small groups work. And even though we've tried them and they failed, we're going to try them again. You know why? Because it's the right, man, getting people together, praying, reading the Word, knowing each other, all that stuff, that's worth doing again. It's not worth throwing your hands up in the air and becoming like them churches that say, oh, we tried that, it doesn't work. That's a defeated attitude. Who cares if you tried it once? Everything's different now. What do you mean it's all different? It's just different. It's now, not then. That's different enough. Then we ought to try. We ought to push forward. One of the most exciting goals that we have that we're going to do is it's launching soon, is February 7th. We're starting an evangelistic Bible study in Holcomb. We got the community center for 12 weeks. We're inviting people who don't know the Lord. Don't ask me how we're going to figure that out. Hey, are you lost and going to hell? Yeah? Great. We got a Bible study. I want you to come on in. I think I know how. I'm going to patrol up and down there around midnight or so and look at the people. We're finding all the four-wheelers and people drinking beer and say, hey, you, we got a church over here. Go be starting. We got a Bible study. You invited me. Yup, you. I don't know how we're going to fight it. Because whenever you do some kind of Christian thing, all the Christian people kind of gather it up and choke it out. Man, yes, amen, hallelujah. And it's like, that's great and all, but we really want to take the gospel and put it on people who are not saved. You know, that's who we're looking for. They're our target. So that's one of the things I'm just excited about. But you might say, John, you've tried small groups at Christ Community before, and they start and they fade, and they start and they fade. So what? We're going to start them again. And you can look at me like I'm crazy. This is because I'm crazy. But you know what? When you find something good, you don't quit at it. You might have to just restart it again and do it again. What am I going to say? I failed at being a Christian, so I quit? Because I failed at being a Christian a bunch. What do I do? Just say, I walk away. I'm so glad that the Bible tells me that I'm not holding on to God, that He's holding on to me. I ain't walking away nowhere, man. He's got me. It's going to be a lonely eternity if I don't say, yes, Lord, we'll get back on it. How am I not going to say, I'll try again to the one who makes the dead rise? There ain't no limits, expiration dates in His program. He's like, just come on. Yeah, but I failed. Come on. Yeah, but I'm no good. Come on. Yeah, but. Just come on with God. But you got to get honest with Him and lose that defeated. Lose that discouraged. Disgruntled means angry. The default mechanism for people who've been in church a decade or more is angry. They're just angry. Angry about what? You pick a topic, throw it out there like a card in the air and they'll shoot at it. It don't matter. They're angry. But there ain't no sense in it. You're not the sanctifying power in anyone's life, not even your own. So stop trying to be making people holy in your image. Nobody. It's like, we ain't got time for that. Like that meme or that commercial. We ain't got time for that. We don't need no disgruntled. Don't be disgruntled. Anybody. God solved our problem. And He did it perfect. His judgment's perfect. He don't even need ours. Golly. Man, that's something. Lastly here, I want you to see this. When we get to praying toward a goal, we want to be humble, honest, real. We want to get rid of defeat, discouragement, and disgruntlement. But then we want to start claiming. You know, we want to start seeing. and praying specifically, Lord, what are you calling me to? Do you realize everybody in this room has got a calling from God? Callings ain't just for preachers and missionaries. Callings are for mamas and daddies and sisters and brothers. For people. For young and for old. God has a calling. How do you know what your calling is? You come ask me and I'll tell you. No. You're going to have to find out. You know, I heard a man one time say, if you don't know what God called you to, go get you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, wrap it up, grab you a gallon of water, and go out in the woods and just pray until he tells you. I said, woohoo, that's all right. But we know some things. God wants all of us to grow in the Lord. God wants all of us, man, to be a part of a church that's growing and reaching. But find out what he has for you. Look on your sheet. I forgot to highlight this, but this is where I want to end. And this is the invitation time for today. An invitation time, by the way, because we're kind of describing church because it's the first year, time, you know, first Sunday of the year. Y'all ain't never been here this year tonight. So an invitation is just a time where you can respond. You can respond to God. We have prayer kneelers up here. Sometimes people, God leads you to come up front and say, I'm making a stand, I'm planting a flag here today, and that's it. I'm making this decision right here, right now, and you need to come up and pray. It's open. Come up and pray. We can do that. You might respond to God right where you are and say, you know what? I'm going to bow my head, close my eyes, and I'm going to say, Lord, I've heard your word, and I'm fixing to do this right here, and I just want your help. I'm making this commitment right now. Maybe it won't be till tonight. Maybe it'll be tomorrow morning. But can I tell you the important aspect is this? Make a response to God. Now look at verse 13. In chapter 3 of Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. This is where we're going to end. And this is the invitation. God wants great and awesome things from this church. And the church isn't one person, it's a whole group of people. The church isn't a building, right? It's us. We're the church. Okay? We are the church. Church, there's some things in our lives individually we need to put behind us. And we need to forget them. Some people are still carrying around wounds from childhood. Wounds from their adolescence, their teenage years. Wounds from young adulthood, marriage and parenting. Wounds from work. All kinds of things. And no, I'm not trying to oversimplify anything. I'm just saying this. As we go forward, you ain't going to be able to go forward like God wants you to if you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Man, if your family's been, maybe you were the kid when your folks got divorced. And it's freaked you out your whole life. And it's caused you to not trust, not even God, and not put one foot in front of the other like you should be. Man, let's put that behind us. Maybe you're the one, and your kid looked at you and said, I can't believe you're doing this, and I hate you. You don't need to tote that. It's not holy. It doesn't make you a saint to tote around all your baggage and your pain. It's time to let it go. Maybe there's a death you ain't got over. Can I tell you, in all love and kindness and sweetness, I understand it. But you got to let go of what's behind, and you got to move forward. If you can't do it for any other reason, do it because God has a mighty call on your life and on your church. And the more you're looking back, the less you're walking into what that call is. Maybe you used to be very successful. Underline the word used to be. Because an old success can hold you back as much as an old failure. I don't know how many times, the church where I used to go to, and I love my church where I went. But there on the wall, they had discipleship training hours posted on the wall. 5,000 discipleship training hours, all this stuff. All these, with all these people's names and plaques. And I'd go talk to those people. When I got saved, I was a brand new Christian. And I found out most of these men were in my Sunday school class where they made me, a brand new Christian, the teacher. Because all of them who were successful in their church life back 40 years ago retired from service to the Lord, and they would let the new guys, the fresh meat, get in there and just get chewed up and spit out and all those other things. I don't care. You might have been a mighty Christian a decade ago. Get over it. Because God's calling you to walk with Him today. Maybe you have failures in any aspect of your life. Maybe you don't feel like the man or the woman you used to be. Get over it. And y'all, can I tell you, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody? Man, there ain't no excuse when God calls you forward to say, wait, I got to go back because of this. Shut up. You don't got to go back because of that. Those issues ain't going to get resolved. You just got to leave them there and walk on into what's new. You say, but I've been hurt. Well, then you'll have scars, just like the rest of us. Well, I don't know if I can make it. Well, you can't on your own, but see, God pulling us together as a church, and He's promised to lead that. He's the head of His church. He'll always be. He's the shepherd of His church. He'll always be. What happens to the sheep that's looking this way when Jesus is going that way? That's the one He's got to go look for later. And praise God. Can we praise God for the shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one who is looking back? Can we praise God for that kind of love? Yeah. So even if you are that one that's looking back and you got caught up over here, He's coming to get you. We just want to walk with Him. What do you got? Maybe there's something done to you. Maybe there's something you did to somebody and you can't. Are you one of them who can't forgive themselves? I can tell you. I can tell you why. It's just simply because you haven't come to see how much He loves you and how His forgiveness covers everything. He knows more of why what you did than even you know why. And He still loves you. He ain't never going to change His word and go, oh, the exception is for this person because I can't believe what they did. Betrayals and adulteries and hatred and all those things. Are those things unforgivable by the great God? No. Put them behind you and walk forward. That's what you got to do. That's what we need to do. Will you do it? Now that's the only question left. Will you do it? Now's the time to respond to God. If there's anything holding you back, so next week we're going to start setting the goals and setting them out there in front and talking about how to walk with God that way. But if we won't get honest, lose all those discouragements and defeats, and then just say, man, we're putting all that behind us. Do you know what the tomb? Do you know what the tomb stands for? If this, is the microphone going to go weird? Jesus died on the sin, right? On the cross for our sin. What happened next in the gospel story? He was buried. So He went into the tomb with our sins on Him. What happened after that 3 days later? Was there sin on Him?
No.
Where'd it go? Hey, when you die, your sin gets judged. Man, our sins have been carried from the cross to the tomb, judged, left there. Jesus rises victorious.
Amen.
So that He can lead us. So that we might live in that resurrection power. Isn't that something? If you got anything you need to leave behind, the tomb is the symbol. Maybe that might be the symbol you need to look at this year and say, you know what? My God broke the sting of death and the handcuffs of sin. He left them in the grave. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to realize everything that He died for me is in that grave. It's gone. It stayed buried. But Jesus didn't. And I'm counting on Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And we give You all the praise. And we love You. And we just ask right now, if You would help us to uncover all this junk, to leave it in the back, not trying to resolve anything, just leaving it behind and looking forward to what You have for us. We trust You, Lord. Help us to trust You more. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this song is just time for you to respond. If you want to respond to God, this is the time.
Yeah. ushers, if they'd come forward for the morning offering. And just as a reminder, God's time of response is never over. You know, I hope one day to preach like my preacher Ray Shelton preached in Lincoln Park, Michigan at Friendship Baptist Church. And he would preach, and he'd preach some of the, he'd be so monotone in his delivery. And it used to drive us crazy. We'd be fighting to stay awake sometimes. But come like Tuesday night or Wednesday, something that he said, the Holy Spirit would pick up, and we always called them spiritual hand grenades. All of a sudden, it's like, boom, you're like, oh, that's what he was saying, you know? And it was like, God just quickened it and livened it. Man, whenever you respond to God, that's the right time. Respond when he puts it on you. But if it's not right now, think about it. Give yourself over to him. Lord, thank you for this offering. We ask that you'd be glorified in it, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dismiss service. I want to tell you that we do have service this week, 6 o'clock for the youth, 6:30 for the adults on Wednesday. Apologize to anybody who might have made a trip up here this past Wednesday. Everybody else, I apologize to y'all and any other folks. Basically, we do that because your pastor during that time just doesn't know where he's going to be at, and I was traveling somewhere between Michigan and Florida. And anyway, we don't plan all that great. And but we're back on a regular schedule. Everything's going good. And so we want to invite you to it. I'm fixing to let us loose, but I do want to give you an invitation. Malaysia is going to sing. Right here. She's going to sing for us. But I told her, you know, she came up just, you know, because it's far as church, we kind of have policy. You know, you don't get to come up that day and be like, hey, can I sing? They're like, no. But she's such a nice young lady, and she's singing for her mama who's ill right now. I said, after church, we're going to give you a shot. They're going to record it. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to dismiss service. So if you need to go, you can go. But if you'd like to stay, you can stay. We don't need to record. You know, we'll be done up there. All right, y'all ready? We're going to pray. And the lady's going to stand up there and sing. Do you need a microphone? And she does need a microphone. Go ahead, get up there.
You got it.
You got the... Quan, you got the. All right. Father God, thank you for loving us. We pray for Malaysia as she gets ready to sing. We thank you for this service today. We pray for Miss Ann, her mama who's not feeling good. And Lord, but in all things, help us to put these things that we can't carry. We're not supposed to carry all this baggage. But Father, would you help us leave it behind as we look forward to you? And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, y'all. Ready? Break.